man loves Jesus like I want to love Jesus. So we're really glad to have him here today, tonight, this week. And we want to ask God's blessing to be with him. Let's pray. Our Father, we just come to you tonight just thanking you and praising you so much for bringing Joe here. Lord, we ask you just to be with us tonight. Help us to have open hearts to what you have for us. And just be with Joe and give him words to speak exactly what you want him to say. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Be with you, brother.
Thank you, brother. God bless you.
I would wholeheartedly agree.
I think he used the term hook up. We hooked up together, and that it was. When we go there, as an evangelist, they hook you up with a singing group. And it's a little bit, like we don't know who they are, they don't know who we are, and so it takes a little bit to connect, usually. But with this brother and sister and the other, Trulin and his wife, we hooked up quick. And we just had a wonderful time. And God met and blessed us in a very real way. And we seen the Spirit of God move in people's heart. And, that's really what it's all about, church, right? Isn't that really what it's about? Seeing God move in somebody's heart and my heart, your heart, have their lives transformed for His glory. Seeing people's lives changed and the Spirit of God working life, bringing life to the Word. And that's really what it's all about. So I'm very honored to be here this evening. We have been so blessed to be at the cabin. Whether you're talking about, we talk about Southern hospitality. I'm from North Carolina, okay? So we talk about Southern hospitality. You hear that all the time, but you folks have rolled out the carpet here. We've been enjoying sweet fellowship. We've been at their cabin. It's just really, really been a blessing. We've been invited to home or two, and we're looking forward to meeting a lot of you and enjoying and getting to know you as family this week. So we're really excited about that. And I trust that you as a body, you as individuals, have been seeking the Lord. I hope you're not here just to endure some meetings. I hope you didn't just have it on your calendar and you're saying, we got those meetings this week. I guess we need to go. It's kind of like duty. We're real busy, but we've got meetings, so we probably should go, I hope that in your heart. I hope your heart is, hey, those meetings, we've been praying. We've been asking God to meet us. Let's go. It's that time. We're seeking the Lord. We are expecting God to come and do great things. We are anticipating the visitation of the Lord. I hope that's your heart. That's God's heart. I am convinced that is the heart of God. God wants to meet us. God wants to do great things. I was asking, I met with a pastor, one of the pastors, and I kind of asked him, how much liberty, I was trying to find out how much liberty do I have, what are you looking for, and I really felt a welcoming, brother, we want you to have liberty, we want you to just come and share, and that really warmed my heart. So with that said, I want to put a challenge out to you, as a body, as the body of Christ, my brothers and my sisters, I want to put a challenge out to you tonight. How many of you sense a need and want revival? Would you raise your hand? You sense a need and you want revival. Good, good. How many of you want revival at any cost? I want you to think about that. I don't want you to necessarily raise your hand. I don't want to put anybody on the spot, but I want you as an individual to think about that. Okay, I want revival, But now you put a little condition in there. You put a big condition in there, and I need to think about that. I want revival in my heart. I sense a need at any cost. What exactly do you mean by that? What do you mean by at any cost? Here's my question, my answer to that question. And I think this is vital. I think this is very vital. My question to you in specific is, are you willing to say, God, if you put your finger on my heart in any area this week, I am going to respond to that. You are Lord of my life. And if you put your finger on anything in my heart, I'm going to say, yes, Lord. That's what I'm looking for. That's the kind of response that I'm asking for. You know why? Because I believe that's the response God wants. And I believe that's a condition for revival. See, we can't have revival on our terms. God, I want revival, but I'm going to lay the perimeters. Okay? God, I want you to meet me under my conditions, and I'll set the parameters, and then you come. I don't think it works that way, do you? We're just family, right? We're going to get to know each other this week. I'm going to be honest with you. I want you to be honest. And I'm going to love you by the grace of God. You're my brothers and sisters, and I'm just going to share with you out of my heart. I believe with all my heart that God wants to do something among us as a people, as family. And I believe it takes, we've got to lay some groundwork. And laying the groundwork is for you and me to be willing to say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Whatever you put your finger on, I'm willing to respond. You know, I heard a message years ago, and the brother put it on a blackboard, and I'll never forget it by God's grace. But he said there's two words that don't go together. Two words don't go together in the Christian vocabulary. I thought, you got my attention. What are they? And it was, no, Lord. You understand? It just don't go together. Those two words, you can say no, God, no. But to say no, Lord, those two just doesn't... It's not Lord. If God says something, if He's Lord, we must agree. We must be willing to embrace what God says as truth. God knows every heart here. I don't. My desire is to preach under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. Not me, but the Spirit of God speaking through me into the needs and to your heart by His Spirit bringing life to the Word and putting God's impression upon your heart that it produces life. Because life comes from God. I can't give life. I have to go to the source to find life. You have to go to the source to find life. Life comes from God. And we need the Spirit of God to bring life to us here. So I would like to take the liberty to say, if you are willing to say, yes, Lord, whatever you show me this week, I'm going to agree with you. If you would be willing to say that, I want you to stand to your feet. And I want to pray. Can we do that? For those that are willing to say, yes, Lord, whatever you say, there's no pressure. But for those of you that are willing to say, yes, Lord, whatever you say this week, if it's your spirit and you're speaking to my heart, whatever you say, Lord, I'm going to agree with you. I'm not going to argue with you. You're Lord of my life. Whatever you want to say to me, I'm ready to hear it. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I just thank you, God, for your Spirit. I thank you, Lord, for life that we find in Christ. Now, Lord, I know there's no life outside of Jesus. There's no life outside of Christ. And I thank you for the life that you've given us, Father, the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, and just the preciousness of having communion with you and being able to sit at your feet and hear your voice and to know that you're our Father and that you lead us and that you'll provide for us and care for us and that you love us, Father. Truly, Lord, nobody has ever loved me like you, God. And I just worship you tonight in prayer and thanksgiving and want to give you honor and glory, Father, because it's all due you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, for my brothers and sisters, Lord, and even their response. Lord, as we laid the question out, are they willing to say yes, Lord? If you put your hand or your finger by your Spirit on anything in our lives, we're willing to say yes, you're Lord. I agree with you. I thank you, Lord, for this kind of response. And God, I believe that's a response that you want to see in our hearts. So, Father, we yield ourselves to you. We ask you, Lord, to minister among us, God, by your Spirit, through your Word, bring life. I pray, Lord, for the one who is struggling tonight, that is really struggling. I pray, God, that you would just draw them to yourself, Father. Help them, Lord, to see you and willing to see you as a loving Father that cares about them and their need and where they are, Father. And Lord, that your compassion could be shown and they could understand how much you care, God. I pray, Lord, for those that are walking in the light of life, but maybe just cold, maybe just a little indifferent, maybe just complacent, God. Would you show us that? Would you put your finger on our heart if that's where we are? Would you just show us, God, what it takes to walk closer to you, Lord, to bring you the glory you deserve, to sense your love in a deeper way and to know your compassion and to walk out the Christian life, Father, the way that brings you glory, Lord. Would you bless us with that? We trust you. We commit each one here tonight to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, thank you so much. Revival. Revival. Tonight we're going to lay some groundwork about revival. As I looked that word up, I seen it said Webster's definition of revival. It said an improvement in the condition of something, to renew an interest, to stir up. I thought, okay, that's understandable. Then I looked in the Word of God, and the first time I found the word revival, and I heard somebody read those over the prayer meeting, I thought that was kind of interesting because when I looked up the word revival in the Word of God, the first time I found an account of the word revival, it said it was actually from Sanballat. And it was in Nehemiah. And it was actually in mockery. Sanballat, you know the story, you know the occasion where Nehemiah was there to build up the walls, and Sanballat in somewhat of a sarcasm, if you will, and a mockery, said, will these stones revive? What are you talking about? Building a wall here? Are these stones going to revive? Or is something good going to come out of this? You know, just kind of a mockery. I thought, well, that's interesting. The second time I seen the word revival, it was actually in Psalms 85 in verse 7. And the psalmist there was crying out to God. This was not in mockery. The psalmist there was crying out. And he said, will thou not revive thy people? He was crying out. But he was crying out for the congregation, for the children of Israel, for the chosen Jews. He was crying out. He said, God, will you not revive us as a people? And I think that's important. I think that's important. Then the third time I found the word revival in the Word was in Psalms 138, verse 7. And David now is saying, revive me as a person. God, will you revive me? Will you revive me? Will you do something in my heart? Will you, God, stir in my heart and stir me towards you? And I believe if the church here, and I'll include myself with you, I believe that if the church here is going to have revival, yes, we want to see corporate revival. We want to see God move. We want to see the glory of God and people's lives changed and things, you know, where God is working in your heart. We want to see that as a corporate body, but in order to see that, that's got to begin in your heart personally. That's got to begin here and over here and over here in your heart where God is stirring your heart as an individual. And something takes place in your heart. You respond to the Holy Ghost. The Spirit of God says, here's the problem. Here's a need in your life. Here's something that you need to look at. This is what's holding us. There's some distance here between us. You've allowed this to come in. You're cold and indifferent here. Whatever's going on in your life, God knows. I don't. But if God says it, and you're willing to say, yes, Lord, I believe that. I respond to that. God, I'm willing to repent of that. I'm willing to turn from that. You're right, God. I want you. That's revival. That's where God meets you. And then when God meets you, and that comes out, and it begins to, the fire burns, and others see that, and it begins to flame, and people can see that. They can see the reality of that. All of a sudden, your children say, hey, what happened to Dad? Wow, something happened in Dad's heart. He's different. His attitude changed. What's going on? Look at Mom. All of a sudden, Mom's happy now. Things are different. The joy of the Lord is here. Something's happened. And the body begins to respond. And God is glorified. Lives are changed. And people are drawn into the presence of God. And then that hunger and that thirst is stirred in our hearts and we begin to long for it. God, please. God, do it. Do it again and do it again. And then the community is affected. And then people start wondering, what's going on over there at the church? People begin to see you different at work. People begin to see your life change. The Spirit of God is real in your heart. The joy of the Lord is there. Your testimony is live. It's real. It's definitive today what God is doing. And people are drawn to Christ and He's glorified and magnified. His name is exalted. That's what it's really all about. That's really what it's all about. And I realize tonight that we don't bring in revival. We can't do it. It's the work of the Holy Ghost. It takes God. We can't stir it up. We can't make it happen. There's no formula that we make it happen. It can't be that way. But it's when a seeking sinner, a seeking soul, meets up with a God who loves them and cares about them, and He begins to stir in their hearts, and they begin to respond to that, and the reality of that comes together, and their lives are changed. That's revival. That's what we need. It's reality. I want to ask you something. We had a lot of wind over the last few days, didn't we? A lot of wind. Man, I woke up last night. I could hear this wind. I thought, what in the world? I got up. Man, it was just blowing. I laid there and I got to thinking about the wind. And then the reality of the Scripture came to my heart. The wind bloweth where it listeth. So is the Spirit of God in the heart of the believer. Let me ask you a question. Can you see the wind? Can you see the wind? Anybody got an answer? You can't. You say, wait a minute. I see the trees blowing. I see debris. I see snow flying. Wait a minute. You're seeing the results of the wind. But you really can't see the wind. Isn't that like the Spirit of God? That's the reason why God said it that way. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and so is the Spirit of God. When God's Spirit sweeps in, I can't see that. But you know what? I can see the results of it. I can see the results of it, and you can too. When God's Spirit begins to move in the heart, and the reality is when people respond to that and God's Spirit is alive and real, you can see the results. It's real. One of the things I thought about that we can see, you ever seen, I've seen this and I'm sure you have too, you ever seen a big tree that, maybe like a big oak tree, and the wind came in and all of a sudden the top out of that tree hits the ground. Half the tree blows down or the tree breaks off. And all of a sudden you see something that you'd never seen before. That tree was diseased. That tree in its heart, in its core, was dead. Oh, it's still put out in the spring. I mean, everything looked fine. But really, there was a problem on the inside of that tree. And the wind just exposed that. It revealed that there was a desperate thing going on in the heart. The wind broke the top out of that tree. I've seen that many times and been amazed at what I've seen. That's results of the wind exposing things that really don't look very good. That's the way the Spirit of God is sometimes. When people start getting right and the Spirit moves, and sometimes, you know, what's on the outside just breaks over. And you really see there's some things inside there that were working death. And it really wasn't as pretty as it looked. I'm going to tell you, it's okay. Because out of that, God can give you beauty for ashes. God can make something beautiful come out of that. Don't worry about, hey, if this comes out, people are going to see. I'm afraid I can't be exposed in this way. If God is moving in your heart and God puts His finger on, just let it go. It's okay. Let it go. Let the beauty come out of it. Out of the ashes, something beautiful can come. So sometimes the wind exposes things that doesn't look very pretty. So is the Spirit of God in the heart of man. Sometimes when God gets going in there pretty deep and stirring up some things, and God says, you need to confess this, you need to get this right, this is standing between you and me, this is causing problems in your home, this is creating a grief to me, your Father, you begin to struggle with that a little bit, and you say, my, if I confess that, if I bring it out, then I don't know how that'll go. I don't know if people will. Don't worry about it. Just remember, I committed myself. If God put His finger on it, I said, yes, Lord, I'm going to do it. I'm going to go on with it. And let God make something beautiful out of it. Let God give beauty for ashes out of it. In revival, in a windstorm, sometimes trees that are not rooted well, they topple over, don't they? Sometimes it happens. You don't realize that until the pressure's on. But they're not rooted well. Maybe they're on a rock or unsuitable soil. And sometimes it's that way in revival. When the Spirit of God moves, you know, you may look very, very healthy. You may look very well. But the bottom line is your roots are not anchored on the solid rock. Your roots are not anchored on the solid rock of Christ. So what we see, or what others see, may look like a healthy tree, but in all reality, it's just a form, because the root is not anchored to the rock, Jesus Christ. And if we have some of that this week and somebody gets born again that's really not born again, somebody that maybe looked good on the outside, and somebody really says, I'm done playing church, I'm sick and tired of struggling, I'm willing to lay it all on the line, I want what the Spirit of God is offering, which is life in Christ, I'm done. If somebody responds that way this week, is anybody going to hold it against them? I'm sure not. I'd love to see it, right? So if the wind blows in that way and you're pushed with the wind, you don't feel like your anchor's where it should be, it's okay to just say, you know what? I want my soul anchored in Christ. And God has spoken to my heart, and I'm going to say, yes, Lord. I'm tired of fighting. I'm tired of trying to prop up. All these years, I've been holding up a prop and trying and struggling and trying to fit in and trying to, you know, appeal to everybody and be what everybody expects me to be. And, you know, maybe it's because of my family heritage and my mom and dad or where I came from or, you know, a confession I made at a young age. But really in my heart, I've struggled all my life and I'm tired of it. I'm done. Allow that to be uprooted. Get your soul in the anchor of Christ and allow that wind to do what it wants to do in your heart. And always during a windstorm, always, there's a lot of loose debris flying around. We went out to the store yesterday, and it was winds blowing, and there was just stuff, little light loose debris just flying everywhere. And you're going to have that in revival. It's okay. It's okay. Don't worry about it. Let God sort it all out. He's faithful. He's faithful. Now I want to ask you another question. I like asking questions. I don't want you to raise your hand, but I want you to answer in your heart before God. Okay? We're trying to lay some groundwork here for revival. I want to ask you a question. Are you hot for God? What's your current condition today? I'm not talking about where you were 20 years ago. Or 10 years ago, or 5 years ago, I'm asking a question, and I want the Spirit to take these words and apply them to your heart. Are you hot for God today? Okay? I want you to answer that in your heart. Now, some of you may have said, I feel like I am. I do. I'm not where I want to be. Are you saying, am I perfect? No, I'm not asking that. I'm asking you, is your heart hot for God? Are you pursuing God? Are you really pursuing God? That's the question. Are you hot for God? Is your heart burned? You know, the disciples, when they sit there and Jesus broke the bread of life to them and then he walked away, and then they said, did not our hearts burn within us when he spoke to us? My, those were words of life that he brought. My, the reality of who him speaking to me. That's what I'm asking. Is the preciousness of Jesus and the Spirit real to you? Are you hot for God? Some of you may say, I'm going to be honest. You asked us to be honest? No, I can't say I'm hot for God. Thank you. Then my second question is, are you cold? Would you say, I'm cold? I'm just cold and indifferent. You have to answer that question. Young people, are you hot for God or are you cold? You may say, yes, that's where I find myself. I'm just cold. I'm cold and indifferent towards the things of God. I want you to be honest. And you may say, no, I wouldn't say I'm there either. No, I wouldn't say I'm there either. Well, I don't know if you know where we're going with this, but there's only one place left. Where is it? Somebody tell me. I see a lot of people grinning. Where's that leave you? Where's that leave me? That leaves me warm, doesn't it? So if I'm not hot for God, and I certainly couldn't say I'm cold, must be somewhere in the middle, right? Lukewarm. What did God say about that? It's exactly what he said. That may seem strange, but that's what God said. God said if you're not hot and you're not cold, you're lukewarm. And if you're lukewarm, it's a disgust to me. I would that you were either hot or cold. One or the other. And I remember studying that out and thinking about that, and I thought, man, isn't surely lukewarm is better than cold, surely. I was trying to debate with God, surely, right? Surely, God, you're wrong. I mean, obviously, a hot heart is where you want everybody, but to actually say somebody that's in the middle, you really would that they were over here, other than here? Surely. I didn't write the book. Those were words that God said. I would that you were over here or over here. Because you're right here, you're lukewarm, he said, I would spew you out. It's a disgust to me. That's pretty bold. But that's the word of God. And you know why? I think one of the reasons, because God loves you and I so much that he can't imagine, he's not satisfied with just a lukewarm relationship. He didn't come to have a lukewarm relationship with us. He didn't come to just salvage our soul from hell. He came to have a relationship with us. How do you feel, husbands and wives? How do you feel if you're not sure how your husband or how your wife feels about you? You're just not sure. Oh, we coexist. Yeah, it's okay. We don't talk much. We don't really share any affection towards each other. You know, it's okay, I guess. You know, we live in the same house. It kind of speaks to me every now and then. It's okay. Not much. Not much of a relationship there at all. You know and I know that's not right. You know and I know that's not healthy. That's not good. And that's what God is saying. I didn't come for that kind of relationship. I didn't lay down my life. I didn't give everything. I didn't give heaven's best to have that kind of relationship. I want something better. And brothers and sisters, he deserves something better. He deserves something better. I want you to think about that. I'm going to give you three heart attitudes that are right for revival. I'm going to give you three. I'm going to make it short, simple, 3 points. Take it home with you. Consider it. If God puts it on your heart and says, there's one where you're not in line, say, yes, Lord. That's all I want you to do. That's all I want you to do. Lord, you're right. I agree. That's right where I'm at. I don't want to be there. I agree with you. I'm willing to repent. I want to be where you want me to be. The first one is hungry. Hungry hearts. Hungry hearts. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 5, verse 6, blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. You want a heart that's right for revival? You want a heart that God can meet and by His Spirit and bring life and bless you? You want that relationship to spring forth and bring life out of it? You want that kind of relationship? God, give me a hungry heart for you. God commands a blessing. Commands. the God of all creation, eternity, commands a blessing on a heart that's hungry for Him. And when God commands a blessing, there's a blessing going to rest there. Trust me. If God said, I will bless this, and you meet the condition, guess what? You're going to get blessed. It's just going to happen. Blessed are they that hunger and thirst after righteousness. And I stand before you in my weakness. I know what it's like to just get cold and indifferent, where you're going through the process. You're doing Christianity. You're just getting by. I know what it's like. That's not the place of blessing. That's not the place where God commands a blessing. He commands a blessing on a heart that's hungry and thirsty. And if that's where you are tonight, God is going to bless you. And if you're not there, just agree and say, God, that's me. I'm not hungering after you. And in your weakness, cry out and say, God, that's me. Give me that kind of hunger. Lord, I repent. I repent. I agree with you. You're right. I don't have a hungry heart. I don't have a thirsting heart for you. God, give me that kind of heart. And God will meet you. And God will bless that. The choice is yours. The choice is yours. Hungry hearts, humble hearts. Turn with me to Isaiah chapter 57. Isaiah chapter 57. Hungry hearts are meat for revival. Isaiah chapter 57. Does somebody have it in front of them? Here it is. Isaiah chapter 57 verse 15 reads, For thus saith the high and lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and a humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite one. Do you see that? A humble heart. God said, I'm gonna dwell there with you. I'm going to dwell there. And I'm going to revive your heart. I'm going to bless that heart because that's a heart I can dwell in. A heart that's humble. A heart that's willing to say, God, I need you. I admit that. God said, I'll be there. I'll be there for you. Because that's the kind of God He is. 2 Chronicles 7:14. Somebody read that. Raise your hand as soon as you can find it. 2 Chronicles 7:14. Back here. A promise. A promise from God. If my people, that's us, right? That's us. If my people, which are called by my name, that's us. That's me. God, you're speaking to me. Yes, Lord. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves, it's a good place to be. Be willing to turn. Seek my face. I will. I love it when God says, I will. Brothers and sisters, that's something you can take to the bank. When God says, I will do something, it's done. You just count it done. He's never going to let you down. He's not going to come up short. Trust me. Trust Him. Don't trust me. Trust Him. He's trustworthy. I love it when God says, I'm going to do something because it's done. He said, if you're willing, my people, which are called by my name, are willing to humble themselves, turn from their wicked ways, seek my face. He said, I will bless them. I will meet with them. I will heal them. I will heal their land. I will heal those things and bless them. That's a promise from God. James chapter 4, verse 6. Somebody read that. James chapter 4, verse 6. Raise your hand. We may have some Bible quizzes here. Thank you, brother. More grace. How many of you need more grace? I need more grace and more grace and more grace. And I'm glad I can go to the well where it doesn't run dry. God doesn't have a limited amount of grace. It's unbelievable, unfathomable amount of grace, and it's available for you and I. God said, I'm going to give grace to you and pour out grace in your life. You humble yourself. But you know what else he said? In that verse he said, if you have pride in your heart, he said, I'm going to resist you. And I remember years ago, God gave me a picture. And there was there was a person, and they were trying to get to God. And they were trying, and God had His hand out. And they couldn't get there. That's a tremendous picture to see. Somebody trying to get to God and God having His hand out. But that's the picture I got studying that verse. God said that man that's full of pride, that woman that's full of pride, that won't let that pride go. They won't give up. They won't surrender. They won't humble themselves before me and before man. He said, I'm just going to resist that. I'm going to hold my hand out and I'm going to resist them. And they can try all they want, but they're not going to find me because they won't humble themselves. And when God resists you or resists me, we're not going to find our way there. So that's the picture you get. Is my pride what's holding me from getting close to God? Is it me, Lord? Is it my pride that's keeping you from me from embracing you? Is that what's holding me back? God, show me. I'm willing to say yes. I'm willing to let it fall. I'm willing to just let it go. If that's me, Lord, put your finger on my heart and I'm going to say yes. I sense you're resisting me. I don't want it. I'm done with it. I want to feel your embrace. I want to feel your loving arms. I want to sense your presence. I want to walk close to you, Lord. And if it's my pride that's holding me back, God, show me, because I'm ready to dump it. That's the kind of heart God's looking for. That's what God wants to see. One picture you get is this from God, and you can't figure out why. The other one is this. Come unto me. All ye that labor and are heavy laden, come. I'll be a father to you. I care about you. I love you. I care about your trials and tribulations, your sufferings. I care about where you find you're faltering and you find weakness and you can't overcome. I care about that because I'm your father and I love you and I want to embrace you and I want to pick you up and I want to care about you and I want to carry you through your trials. I love you. How do you see God? How do you see God? How does it feel? Is it this? Or is it this? Come. You have to answer that question. I can't. You have to answer. We're talking about revival. Hungry hearts, humble hearts, and the third thing is honest hearts. It's kind of where we started, wasn't it? Honest. You read the parable of the sower. We won't read that for the sake of time. I want to close. Luke chapter 8, you read that. Parable of the sower. Where that seed fell and different grounds it fell on. The seed was the word of God. The sower went forth to sow. Word went down. Out of each one of those seeds sprang up life each time. What do you get out of that, brother? I get out of that. That word went, accomplished that which it went forth to do. But it was dependent upon the ground that it fell on as to what it brought forth. That's your and my place. God is allowing that word to be sown in our hearts this week. The word is being sown. What kind of ground is it falling on? Is it rocky? Is it choked with the thorns of life, the things of this world? Or is it falling on good ground, fertile ground? One of the things in that good ground where it brought forth a lot of fruit for the glory of God was an honest heart. Honest heart. Somebody who said, God, you're right. I need you. God, you're right. Whatever it takes, I want to walk close to you. Whatever that means, Lord, I'm going to agree with you. I'm going all the way. I'm not holding back anything, God. That's the kind of heart that's going to bring forth fruit for His glory. God, give us honest hearts. God, give us humble hearts. And God, give us hungry hearts. So we can have revival. Individually and corporately. That the world may know that we know Him. And we're His for His glory. May that be reality. I want you to bow your heads and close your eyes. I asked, wanted to make sure it was okay with the ministry to have an altar call. I always like to respect how things are conducted at the church. I was given the liberty. And I want to say, if God has spoken to your heart in anything that was said tonight and you'd like prayer, I want you to raise your hand where you sit now and let me pray for you. Is there anybody who would raise your hand and say, God spoke to me? I see that hand. I see that hand. Praise God. Several hands. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Could I be so bold to ask you to come up and let me just pray over you here? If you can find the grace to do that. Let's just pray together. My hand's up with you. Let's just pray together. Anybody care to do that? We're just family. You remember what we said, you know, if we can't walk humbly, we might not find God. If we can't be honest and we can't walk humbly, we might not. God might sense we're resisting Him. It's entirely your choice. Thank you so much. Praise the Lord. God is good. Okay, let's just... You that responded, I want you to... You know what God touched your heart about. I don't need to know, but you do. And I want you to just confess that. God, you're right. Cry out, Lord, wash me in your blood, cleanse me, and help me. I need you. And then I want you to believe what the Word says. If we confess our faults, He's faithful and just. If we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. That's a promise from God, and you can claim that as your own. And I want to pray for you. Let's pray. Father in heaven, I just thank you for those that responded tonight, Father, to your Spirit, your Word. God, it's all about you. We give you glory, Father. Lord, I just worship you tonight. Thank you, Lord, for speaking to these brothers and sisters. And God, I pray for them. I pray, Lord, that the grace of God would flow into their hearts and the reality of the forgiveness of sins and just the ability, Father, of their willingness to say, yes, Lord, it's me. I've come up short, and I want to confess that. I want to humble myself and acknowledge that. Thank you so much for them, God, and I pray that you bless them. Help them, Lord, to also claim the promise of forgiveness and cleansing through your blood, and to walk in the freeness and freshness of your Spirit working in their hearts. God, I pray that you would continue to bring revival to us here as a people, Father. We love you. Thank you so much, God. Just pray your blessings upon these people. In Jesus' name, amen. You can return back to your seat.